Chippewa Falls, W228 Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Senate has passed a short-term government funding bill. That's good news, says Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
The Senate reached an agreement to pass a clean extension of government funding to avert a needless shutdown.
The measure now goes to the House. A new Justice Department report has found critical failures in the response to the 2022 Uvalde school shooting. CBS's Lilia Luciano reports.
The biggest failures are no leadership, no communication, and the goal of this report to provide law enforcement agencies with a series of standards to follow.
19 children and two teachers were killed in Uvalde. Punishing cold is gripping parts of the Northwest. This man lives in North Bend, Washington.
Everything is bad here. We don't have water. We have freeze the pipes for the septic, for everything.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Reproductive rights will be the topic when Vice President Kamala Harris visits Wisconsin Monday. That's according to a release put out by the White House this morning. As of midday today, there were no other details about when or where in Wisconsin Harris might appear. 1 in 10 teenagers in Wisconsin tried to commit suicide last year. Linda Hall is with the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. She says teenagers are under a lot of pressure.
Performing well in high school, getting prepared to go to college. They're concerned about climate change, the proliferation of gun violence, and political divisiveness.
Hall says the good news is more than 300 schools around Wisconsin have mental health programs that are led by students. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Eau Claire Energy Cooperative is asking residents to back off energy use during peak hours as the cold weather puts pressure on the electric grid. Customers are asked not to use energy on items like electric water heaters, heat pumps, or boilers during the alert, which covers early in the morning and early evening when residents are most active in their homes. The organization also offers another program for members that heat with gas, which would allow the organization to turn off electric heat at certain times for a reduced rate. The Stanley Boyd School Board has approved a resolution to put a $23 million referendum on the April ballot. In a press release, District Administrator Jeff Koenig said the funds would be used for a new gymnasium, the relocation of the district office, and the construction of one central cafeteria. If passed on the April ballot, homeowners would pay approximately $94 extra per year per $100,000 in property. Koenig also noted a community survey in November showed 60% support. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass. Eyes waiting. Started to wonder. Metamorphosis. Lost who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Packers back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay getting ready for their divisional playoff game against the 49ers. What makes San Francisco's defense so tough? I asked Packers right guard John Runyon.
This San Francisco defense, they don't do as much as any other defense we play this year. They're going to play their gap. They're going to be sound. They know where they're going to fit in their scheme, and it's going to be up to us to, you know, take them out of positions, mess with their eyes and stuff like that. And they have a good defense, and they play it hard, and they've been doing it for a long time, and that's what makes them so good on defense.
The kickoff Saturday night at 7:15. NBA, the Bucks got blown out by Cleveland. The Cavaliers jumping out to an early lead. They won 135-95. Adrian Griffin on what he told the team after losing by 40 points.
You know, I just talked to the team after the game about we have to learn from this. You have to. You can't continue to make these type of mental errors when the first, especially the start of the game.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Starting off sunny today with clouds increasing, high temperatures climb to the teens, and with winds calmer today, it'll actually feel like that. By tonight, we'll see a few flurries flying around with chance of snow through the overnight, and we could be waking up to a trace to a half an inch of snow on the ground tomorrow morning. 8 degrees at our studios.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot of it being made, some of it was made 10 minutes ago. Just came across the wire, a Senate vote on the continuing resolution to kick the can down the road till March. Let me get into that right now. Get into it right now. Remember that Joe Biden met with congressional leaders the other day. Tried to jawbone them into doing the right thing. In other words, jawbone the Republican Party into funding our government. And initially, the reports that came out were optimistic. Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, and even John Thune, the number two guy to Mitch McConnell on that side, and Langford, and Chris Murphy on the Democratic side, charged by Schumer with doing the negotiating. We're all ecstatic that we could get to a deal. Now, remember, there are two deals that are necessary. One is to fund our government. That's pretty basic. Pay our troops, pay our personnel, pay our contractors when we buy things. That was going to expire. That is going to expire tomorrow by 11:59 p.m. tomorrow. Republicans only kicked it down a couple of months the last time they did this by continuing resolution. By the way, there should be a budget. There should be a budget. There always has been in the past, not now. Four of the 12 spending bills that are needed will expire tomorrow, just before midnight. The other eight, February 2nd. So one of the bills that's essential is to continue that funding. Forget Ukraine, forget aid to Israel, forget all of this. It's that that's needed. Forget the border. That's a separate deal. The Senate just passed, as I was coming on the air, I think it was 77-18. That's more than 3/4 of the Senate. They passed the clean resolution, very short-term resolution, but just very basic, continuing to fund the government, to continue to fund it till the beginning of March. In other words, kick the January 19 and February 2nd dates to the first week in March. I can't begin to tell you how pathetic this is, except that if that hadn't been done, we wouldn't be paying our troops. And remember something. Two Navy SEALs were killed in the Red Sea trying to board boat that Iran was sending to Yemen with missiles to sink our ships. That just happened. the other day. And the Republicans are perfectly content with saying, well, we may not pay the Navy SEALs. We may not pay our aviators that are taking risks. We may not pay our service members that are in harm's way. It's treacherous, but in any event, the Senate, bipartisan, 77 to 18, passed it. Clean resolution. It has to go to the House now. Let me tell you about that. I want to talk about that, and then I want to talk about the larger question about aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, and the border. So the first one, the clean resolutions, passed the Senate. It's going to the House. What's happened is Mike Johnson has said they're going to vote on it tonight. Why tonight? Because it still has to go to President Biden. He'll sign it, but wherever he is, it has to go to him physically. They can't Zoom it. They can't PDF it. They can't hold it up on Zoom and say, sign it virtually. It has to be the document. They did it once when he was out in California, and they had to get a plane out there with the document to sign it. Well, is it going to pass? I think it will, but here's the problem. A number of the MAGA people, the Freedom Caucus people, want to shut the government down. There is no accommodation they can be given that will induce them not to shut the government down. They are not for America. They hate the government. They look on the government as something external to them. In liberal democracy, we are the government. You are the government. I am the government. They are the government. They hate themselves. But remember something. The majority in the Republican caucus, which was at about 221, is down 3 or 4 votes. Kevin McCarthy got out of town. Obviously, George Santos was thrown out. But Scalise is in for cancer treatment. There's a fellow in, I think it's Tennessee, who was in a car accident. So basically, Mike Johnson can only lose 2 votes. And something like a dozen, maybe 2 dozen, of these right-wing Freedom Caucus nuts have said they want to shut the government down. Well, Mike Johnson can send it to the floor. It comports with the Hastert rule, which is a Republican rule, not constitutional. It's not legal. It's just their rule that says nothing should go to the floor without more than half of the Republican caucus for it. Well, there's something like 200 in the Republican caucus for it. Should be a no-brainer. But the problem for Mike Johnson is similar to the problem in the Senate with a different name. You know, in the Senate, they have a thing called unanimous consent and the filibuster, which lets any nut, any traitor, anyone who's bribed, hold up the American government. And the Republicans won't throw 9 votes to bust the filibuster. Well, in the House, they have a thing called a rule vote. So, yeah, Johnson can say, I want to send it to the floor, but there has to be a rule vote. The rule vote, you're going to have 20 or 30 MAGA people not vote for it. He's only going to have 190 votes. He would need to make that up from the Democrats. And traditionally what happens on rule votes, the party in the minority votes against it to a congressman, and it can't pass. So what Johnson is doing is he is sending it on a special resolution that's going to go to the floor and avoid the rule vote. The problem with that is it takes 2/3 to pass, not just a simple majority. And 2/3 means he'd need every Democrat and about 70 Republicans. Now, quite frankly, I do not see, if everybody's in sync and on board with this continuing resolution, why he simply can't go to Hakeem Jeffries and say, look, on the rule vote, I'm going to come up with 190 votes. I want you to come up with 30 votes. He could easily do that. It'd have the same effect. But there is this taboo, this divisive hatred that prohibits any Republican from asking for help from any Democrat. even discussing it. So what he's going to do is put it out on the floor without a rule vote, knowing that it takes two-thirds, knowing that the Democrats will vote for it, but he didn't have to ask them for it. This is really pathetic. This is really, really, really pathetic. But how about the other, almost equally consequential vote, which is, how about is funding our foreign policy, aid to Ukraine, aid to Israel, and in return, a demand for something on the border, for stronger border protection. I'm with it 100%. So is Joe Biden. And there was some very, very good word that came out of the Senate today that even Lankford, Thune, and Mitch McConnell say they're very, very close to a deal on that one. In other words, yes to Ukraine aid, yes to Israel aid, and yes to much stronger controls at the border. Now, the problem with that is that that also has to get by the House. And unlike the clean continuing resolution, which I think will pass tonight in the House, unlike that, there are many MAGA people, many Freedom Caucus people, maybe 30 or more, that say we are not going to do anything on the border unless it is our H.R. 2, very, very, very draconian bill, and we're not going to approve any aid. That's what they've said. Here's the background on it. And I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. I will get to you. But here's the background on it. Mike Johnson told his caucus that Congress must wait on the border and therefore Ukraine aid till Trump is president. That's what he told them. He has been calling Trump, and he has said, and others have said, that Trump now commands the Republican caucus. They know that a deal on the border would help Biden electorally. That is the single issue that seems to be dominating a lot of Republican thought. So they want no border deal unless it's their bill. Then Trump on Truth Social, his social media, came out and he said, quote, no border deal. This just came out, quote, no border deal unless we get everything in caps. I have no doubt that our wonderful speaker will only make a deal that is perfect in total caps on the border. Now, what do we do with that? You, in effect, have given Trump a veto over Congress simply because about 30 MAGA people are slaves to Trump. And Mike Johnson is ambitious and wants to keep his speakership. And therefore what? Putin will go into Ukraine and rape some more people and devastate the country because of this? What about a privilege resolution? Have the Democrats put it in and kick it out there, and the Republicans will have to go along with it. All right, coming up, I see you on the lines. We're going to get to you immediately when we get back. Coming up, after I talk to you on the lines, Elise Stefanik is going to be censured. Coming up.
Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
93.5 The Tap.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start, and it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Jack Merrimack, my friend, you're first. What's on your mind today, Jack?
Well, first of all, we do not and never have had an open border with Mexico, as far as I know. That's another big lie that Republicans are responsible for. Secondly, even a few hundred thousand, if there are, in fact, that many coming over the border from Mexico, with a country of 330 million, give me a break. That's not even 1% of our population of our country. That leads me to wonder how many people who are screaming, the border, the border, the border, and in fear and hate and anger, and how many of them actually have personally dealt with a situation involving not just a legal immigrant, but an undocumented person. My guess would be almost none of them. And finally, the immigration quote-unquote problem is a combination of things, but the biggest thing, somewhere between two-thirds and three-fourths of the undocumented immigrants are originally documented. They come into this country on a work visa, right, a visitor visa, a student visa, and then they reapply to extend those visas. It takes months and months, and all of a sudden, they're out of time. They're undocumented, but the INS has been so defunded that they can't deal with this. The last thing I want to say is this. The Republicans had 2 years where it was 100% Republican domination in the Senate, the House, and they had the administration. Rather than actually doing something about this immigration so-called crisis, they're going to build a wall. Never happened.
Right. But here's the thing, Jack, look, the fact of the matter is there are people who think that way. And the reality is that Biden has to deal with that. And there is nothing in the Constitution says that the three branches of government are checks and balances on each other. This is a usurpation of that. Trump is dominating the Republican majority in the House. That's what's happening. And they're going along with it because they're afraid of death threats to their families. So you make very good points, but the reality is Biden has to deal with this. Thanks a lot for calling. Tony in Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Tony?
So why do we care about Ukraine's border if you don't care about our border?
Tony, let me tell you something. Let's cut this right away. We have the Pax Americana, the American peace. We are it. We are the greatest country that ever lived, and we are going to keep authoritarian and commies out. We do not want commies, the Ruskies, coming in. They used to be commies. Now they're just Nazis. Now they're just mafia. We care about that because we care about America. We also care about our border. The whole idea here is what's happening is that Biden has said we'll have this deal, and not everybody likes everything in the deal. I get it. So what? But the Republicans are okay, and the Democrats are okay. The point I'm trying to make, let's home in on this. Why should Donald Trump, a criminal, who's under indictment in 91 felony counts, why should he be able to control, through death threats to their families, the Republican caucus, which has a slight majority, and do anything he wants, gets rid of aid to Ukraine, or anything else. I'm very tired of this. Very, very tired. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, thanks. Whenever I hear the Hastert rule, I go, the Democrats should just call that the child rapist rule, because that's what Denny Hastert was convicted of after he was booted from Congress. And and you can't say it for the women, but I mean, I'd ask some of these congressmen, and particularly on the men, and ask them if it hurt when they surrendered their testicles to Donald Trump. I mean, maybe that's getting crude, but I'm tired of hearing this nonsense of these guys, spouting right. stuff.
Mark, here's the deal. I reiterate what I said. The Constitution has checks and balances. They have permitted a former president, he isn't even president now, to control their caucus because they're afraid, A, that he will somehow endorse their opponents in a primary, or B, they're threatening their kids and wives. That's what's happening. People said that to Pelosi. They said it to other people. That is what's happening, and that's unacceptable. They said it to Mitt Romney. Joe Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Joe. What's in your mind today?
Well, this former president who is so gung-ho about getting rid of illegals, you could refer to a 2019 Vanity Fair article that would be August 9th, 2019, Vanity Fair, in which some of the former workers of Trump's winery and golf clubs across the country talked about how he had for several decades hired illegal workers. In fact, one of the guys, Jorge Castro, who had been employed illegally for 9 years at Trump's golf clubs, said, gee, if you're a good worker, quote, papers don't matter. Given that, I called yesterday because I was talking about the fact that employers are never held or seldom held accountable for hiring illegal workers. I would commend to your listeners an article from the Center for Immigration Studies. The title is called Hiring Illegals is a Crime. And they focus on the fact of how seldom that crime is tackled on the side of employers and companies. Here's a little statistics for you. The ICE, people went back and looked at ICE from April 2018 to March of the following year. During that year time, there were exactly 11 people and no companies that were charged with hiring illegals. Okay, 11 people, no companies. It was a total of 7 cases. During that same time period, we spent the money and time and effort to arrest and process and charge 85,000 people for illegal entry, over 35,000 people for illegal reentry, and more than 4,000 were prosecuted for illegally bringing or harboring illegals. So we spent all this time and effort on the illegals. What about the employers? And the thing that's most heinous about it is it's the good guy employers who are hurt by this. And they say so, that this they are undercut by businesses that get no penalties at all for hiring illegals. If we want to change this situation, start looking at the employers. And we have to start looking at the fact of we're used to cheap food and we are used to cheap products because businesses and us like the cheaper prices. So just like Trump hiring his illegal workers, yet at the same time saying, oh my God, death penalty for them. Let us look at this. Again, it's the Center for Immigration Studies. Hiring illegals is a crime. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, that's an excellent call. And I'll tell you a funny anecdote, and if I'm cut off, I'll say it after we come back. But the Texas legislature, about a year or two ago, tried to pass a bill that would go after employers. And then what happened was they started to talk and say, well, wait a minute, I have a nanny who's illegal. This guy have lawn care that's illegal, blah, blah, blah. So they put out a bill, believe it or not, that said employers who hire illegals, except for, and the paragraph was so big, it was embarrassing. In other words, everybody in the legislature is hiring them. It died in committee. Very, very funny. Coming up, we are going to talk about Elise Stefanik. We are going to talk about Elise Stefanik and also the report that just came out on the Uvalde massacre. A lot of egg on the face of the cops down there, believe me. Coming up.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
The
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you've made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Cold weather didn't keep passionate Wisconsin Farmers Union members away from their Farm and Rural Lobby Day. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. They braved the elements and met yesterday at Bethel Lutheran Church in downtown Madison to start talking about the policy items they wanted their elected officials to pay attention to. Darren Von Ruden's president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He said, unfortunately, getting these items passed is not as simple as just a conversation.
The climate change or climate issues. We've seen the record heat here this last summer, drought again in the state of Wisconsin, which covered a big chunk of the state. And so looking at that, the legislature right now just doesn't seem to want to talk too much about that. But it's a reality that we live in. Our climate is changing, and there's things that we can do to actually change that process. And we have to take responsibility as the citizens that are here today to make sure that happens.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, at their Farm and Rural Lobby Day yesterday, downtown Madison. He said some of the climate initiatives that they want to see happen include starting grants to reduce food waste, also investing in county conservation staff, and developing a climate change farmer grant program. A few of the staple items they discussed with elected officials yesterday, and we'll continue that conversation.
Are you being offered a complete seed treatment package? If your seed treatment doesn't help against soybean diseases like white mold, sudden death syndrome, and rhizoctonia, then it's not complete. Heads Up Seed Treatment offers protection against all of these diseases through its unique mode of action, systemic acquired resistance. Don't get caught off guard in 2024. Get the best defense against the unpredictability of each season by completing your seed treatment package with Heads Up. Visit headsupst.com to learn more.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Livestock producers rely on BioVet for microbial and nutritional support. Keeping livestock eating and productive. Make BioVet your trusted partner for your livestock health since 1991. Learn more at biodashvet.com. Innovation, that's BioVet.
And Wisconsin Farm Technology Days has announced that a dairy farm in Stratford, Wisconsin is going to host the big event coming up 2026, and it's got an interesting story. Matt Radetsky used to work over the road welding stainless steel, and he'd tell everybody in the company he wanted to leave so he could milk cows. And they teased him. They didn't think he was serious, but he said, no joke. Well, No Joke Dairy from Stratford's now going to host the state's largest outdoor agriculture event coming up in 2026. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Starting off sunny today with clouds increasing. High temperatures climb to the teens, and with winds calmer today, it'll actually feel like that. By tonight, we'll see a few flurries flying around with chance of snow through the overnight. And we could be waking up to a trace to a half an inch of snow on the ground tomorrow morning. 8 degrees at our studios.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Cause I knew upon your ways.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Dan Goldman, a great congressman from New York, he also was one of the impeachment lawyers, one of the major impeachment lawyers against Trump, announced that he is going to move to censure Elise Stefanik. Elise Stefanik is another New York congresswoman. She's from northern New York, far north. She used to be moderate, very moderate. She attacked Trump. I'm talking about before he became president. Attacked Trump and was moderate, moderate to liberal, because she's a New York Republican. When Trump got in, she became slavishly devoted to him in a humiliating fashion, singing his praises all the time, no matter what he said, what he did. She ultimately voted not to certify the electors the way he wanted to. He wanted her not to certify the electors after the 2020 election. She has minimized the insurrection, basically denied it, denied that it was serious, denied that it was his supporters. Well, she went a little too far the other day. She described the insurrectionists who are in jail now for beating up cops, for trying to murder Mike Pence, hang Mike Pence, going after Nancy Pelosi, stealing stuff from the Capitol, vandalizing the Capitol. She described these prisoners as hostages, invoking the hostages that the sadistic, genocidal Hamas have captured, including the youngest one, just turned 1 year old on January 18. Little poor little guy, 1 year old. And Hamas has had their claws on him since October 7th. She compared the insurrectionist prisoners to those hostages. That is beyond disgusting. She has become beyond disgusting. And Dan Goldman, Congressman Dan Goldman, had had enough. And he decided, he said, I am going to move to censure her. Now, censure at one time, and I'm going to tell you the methodology on it, censure at one time was a big deal. Very few people got censured. If you did, you hung your head in shame. None of these people have any shame. None of them. None of their supporters have any shame. I think three people have been censured in the last year or so. Obviously, George Santos, who deserved it, but they went after Adam Schiff. And in other words, they're partisan censures by the Republicans. A few times the Democrats censure someone, it's because, like Santos, he's a liar and a thief, or Gosar, who put out a video in which he killed Ocasio-Cortez and did physical injury in the video to Joe Biden and somehow got away with it. That kind of malarkey, those kind of shenanigans. Michael Fanone was a heroic police officer who tried to defend the Capitol, and they had him on the ground and a mob was kicking him to death. Kicking him, beating him to death. And he cried out for help. He said, I have four daughters. And at that, a couple of people protected him enough. He had brain damage. He was seriously injured. He still is. He finally resigned. And on MSNBC today, in an interview, they asked him if he regretted being so public with what he said because of the various threats. Because he's gotten death threats. And he said, he's a terrific guy, a stand-up guy. And he said, no, I don't. It was the right thing to do. But I am concerned about my family. He said, I can't afford security. And that's fine with me, but I am worried about my daughter. He said, I was at the gym in the last day or so. And a man came up to me shouting at me and threatening me. This is a police officer who is defending the Capitol. defending the vice president against assassination, defending other police officers. Lee Stefanik is beneath contempt. Here's what Dan Goldman said. He said, you know, the funny thing about a censure resolution is whether you're in the minority, majority party, it takes precedence. It has to be decided. I think it has to be put to a vote within 48 hours. And they asked him, are you going to do that? He said, I'm not going to put a timeline on it. I'm putting the resolution in. I expect the Republican majority will police themselves. She's number four in the hierarchy in the House. She's a House leader. She's the caucus chair. And he said, you know, especially with the leadership, if this were just a rank and file backbencher, weirdo, creep, that's one thing. But this is their leadership. And I expect them that they will police themselves. Well, my reaction to that is I like Dan Goldman a lot, but my reaction is good luck, Dan. They ain't policing anybody. She stands for Trump. She mouths Trump's pieties, mouths his lies, and nobody there is going to vote to censure her. So when Goldman puts it out, he'll get 213 Democratic votes, but he won't get 217 votes. Not a single Republican dares to censure her because they don't want to have happen to them what's happened to Michael Fanone. Have people come up to him in the gym, on the street, threaten them, yell at them, and issue death threats to them and their families. That is the sorry state to which the Republican Party has sunk. And so you'll see the resolution. It'll wait there a heck of a long time until Goldman says, okay, I'm going to pull the trigger, and good for him. It'll get 213 votes and fail, and she will continue on. You know, Trump is a master at sucking up to people. And the way he has baited her is he said that maybe she'd make a good vice presidential candidate. And she preens like a peacock. And, well, you know, I'd serve him any way that he wants and all this stuff. Elise Stefanik in charge of our government. The worst idea is Trump in charge of our government. Second worst is Elise Stefanik sitting there. And what? Putin goes into Latvia or Lithuania? Or what? Somehow Iran bombs one of our ships and kills our sailors? I don't want her anywhere near the levers of power. I don't trust her. She thinks right now that she's an isolationist, and she's taking her cues from Trump, Donald Trump. Gina Beauclair, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Gene?
Well, thank you so much for taking my call, Matt. This is a great show as usual. With great callers already on the phone, I just wanted to say, you know, it's not just a sorry state of the Republican Party. It's a sorry state for America.
Gene, you're breaking up a little bit. Are you on a speakerphone or?
No, I'm on a regular, but I can call back in a little bit. Maybe that's
No. Keep going. Now I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, sure. You know, it's not just a sorry state for the Republican Party. It's a sorry state for America. We need to have people that have pledged to follow the law to indict these people, to hold them accountable, because this is confusing to our children and grandchildren, because in schools they are learning to follow the law, pledge allegiance to the flag, tell the truth. And what do they see the adults doing that are running our country, that are supposed to be telling the truth, lying through their teeth, supporting a criminal? And let me tell you that they need to stop this now, because Republicans are not going to police themselves, so other people have to. Independents and Democrats have to hold these people criminally liable. This is not political. And because Republicans won't do it, if people don't understand or believe this is really happening. Once Republicans start changing and doing the right thing, then other people wouldn't be threatening them because they would believe this is really happening. But because they're so split and Republicans will lie to protect their party, that's what's confusing the whole masses of people. So they got to be held accountable one way or the other. I hope Republicans wake up, because they are hurting every American in our country. Thank you very much, Matt. And you have a great day. Sorry to go on a rant, but this is
No. Excellent call, Gene. Excellent call. I want to talk about Uvalde now. The report just came out. The Department of Justice had been compiling this report of 600 pages, and it is scathing, and rightly so. Let me give you some of the lowlights. 77 minutes went by while these Chicken Hawk cops were standing out in the hallway afraid to go in. Initially, one of them lied and said that the door was locked. Then they said that we didn't have the keys, the janitor had them, we couldn't find the janitor. Come to find out the door wasn't locked. Come to find out they knew all along what was happening. Kids inside with cell phones had called 911. Ultimately, 19 kids were killed and two teachers. And some of them were blasted so hard. This is an assault rifle. You couldn't recognize them. These poor little buggers, the poor little kids, you couldn't recognize them. Couldn't recognize them. You know how Abbott, that skunk, that governor in Texas, what he did? They said, well, maybe you shouldn't let people that young buy AR-15s, buy assault rifles. He said, well, I got something better. I'm not kidding. This is what he did. So the Republicans proposed a law that if you wanted to, you could fire your kid's DNA with the school district. In other words, you know, they would take a swab from their cheeks and with the school district. That way, if they get murdered and blown up and you can't recognize them, at least you can identify them. You know how pathetic that is? You know how disgusting that is? Well, that's exactly what he did. So 600 pages, and it came out. There's absolutely no excuse for the indecision. The kids called 911. One of the officers' wives was in there, and he didn't do it. They did nothing. The medical response was terrible. There was a teacher who was mortally wounded. We don't know if she could have survived anyway. Did she get medical help? No, they dragged her out and laid her in the hallway. They laid her in the hallway. Miscommunication to parents. They told some parents their kids were dead when they were not, and they told some parents their kids would survive when they didn't. What they found out was the officers were terrified because the guy was in there with an AR-15. They were terrified. And they didn't even push the door open. There are protocols on that. There are things you can do. You have an officer lie on the floor with a sniper gun, and then somebody can kick it open with his foot from the side, and he shoots the guy. They could throw in tear gas. They could throw in a lot of things. They don't get to sit there for 77 minutes. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling, Bill. What's in your mind?
Good morning. Good afternoon, Matt. Say, I believe a lot of that rest was Abbott right in his lap. And here's why.
Right.
Had he taken action to prevent something like that, he would have been a hero. But he chose not to. He chose the weak way to go out. I believe that somebody ought to introduce that because of the fact-finding investigation on Uvalde, that he start out by being censored and considered an impeachment and removed from office for lack of leadership when children are being murdered.
I agree 100%. I would like to get him out. He's the other guy. Remember that poor Mexican woman and her two kids drowned going across the Rio Grande because he barred the federal agents who would have rescued her from being near it. And then he lied and he said he didn't do that. I don't trust the guy. And he'll be here in Milwaukee next July, and he's sniffing around for vice president too. This is the dregs of the Republican Party. Coming up, very short, but coming up, the judge in the E. Jean Carroll case threatens to throw Trump out of the courtroom. What's the status of that now? Coming up.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
93.5 The Tap.
Streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'm going to take you in line. Do not hang up. Karina of Milwaukee, you're first. What's on your mind, Karina?
Hi, Matt. You see, I'm confused a little bit, and it's probably my fault because I don't know the regulation to the T, but I always thought that the first responders are about police. But then, when in the situations like that, the FBI forces and SWAT team supposed to be step in. So what happened?
Well, here's the thing, Karina. Let's be blunt here. This isn't New York City. This is Uvalde. There's no FBI SWAT team around anywhere close, and this is urgent. So the police respond, and then they have medical personnel respond. The medical personnel screwed up too. They dragged this wounded woman who then died, and they lay her in the hallway. Well, what, a pillow maybe? Or maybe somebody, you know, tries to staunch the blood? Or, I mean, unbelievable. But no, there's no FBI SWAT team in Uvalde. The closest FBI SWAT team is probably in Dallas or Houston or San Antonio or somewhere. Maybe not even that. So, yeah, it's nice to have an FBI SWAT team, but you don't always have it. But here you have a police force, and these guys chickened out. They could hear the shooting in there. And the sad thing is, there was one of the officers yelled in, yell help if you need help. And a kid yelled help. And the gunman came and shot the kid. And they stood out there for 77 minutes. And the people that watched the whole video of the thing said they could just, it killed them. They kept saying as the guys are standing there going, do something, do something. I mean, they're yelling at the film. It's too late, but do something, do something. Unbelievable that these people still kept their jobs and that nobody got indicted. Bob and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling, Bob. What's on your mind today?
Well, I'd like to declare the Republican Party, or maybe the MAGA Republicans, domestic terrorists. How can Fannie Willis put together a case? She's got those electoral workers. She's probably got charges against her and a judge and stuff and threats all over the place, all over the country. This is widespread. Isn't it perfect for a Fannie Willis-type recall case to go after this whole phenomenon and take it to Trump and his followers? How can we go it legally? And maybe third choice would be a Senate investigation.
Well, there's a couple of things. You dragged a lot of different stuff in, Bob. And Fannie Willis, I don't know if you're implying that she did something wrong. She didn't do anything wrong. Fannie Willis is the prosecutor in Atlanta. And it turns out there's an allegation. I don't know if it's true or not, but she's dating a guy who is the special prosecutor that she brought in to prosecute the case. She can date whoever she wants. That's her business. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know about the allegation. There's a hearing that's been set for February 15, but she's a single woman and she can date whoever she wants. Now, that's number one. Number two, they could say, okay, then is this guy qualified? Well, he's very qualified because he's not only, the indictments have not only held in face of motion to dismiss, but they've gotten a number of pleas of guilty. So you can't get any better than that. So this business about going after Fannie Willis, the Republicans in Georgia are trying to do it. And the governor there, to his credit, and I'm not a fan of his at all, but he did stand up to Trump, Republican governor, and he's going slow on it. But there's a hearing. The judge said, okay, I'll have a hearing. And it'll be, and if it's personal stuff, he can do it in chambers. But okay, are you dating this guy? Yeah. Okay. Assuming that's the answer. If she's not and they're lying, which wouldn't surprise me, that's another answer. But all right, you are. Okay, is this guy competent that you hired? Well, yeah. I mean, the special prosecutors in New York City hire special prosecutors. Well, the DA, Alvin Bragg, and his office had hired special prosecutors originally. And very, very common. That happens here in Wisconsin as well. Okay, is he qualified? Or is he some guy that shouldn't be, that isn't qualified? Well, not only is he qualified, he's gotten four, maybe more, pleas of guilty. And all of these charges have held up on motions to dismiss, and he's won most of the motions. Yeah, I guess he is. End of story. I'm very tired of people attacking Fannie Willis. Fannie Willis, Tanya Chutkan, Jack Smith, and Letitia James are four people that I admire a lot, and they are preserving our democracy. Cassandra of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Cassandra, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question about the Uvalde report. If you can recall, what kind of training did the police department receive and the emergency responders? Was their training on par with other law enforcement officials and emergency responders in the state and in the country? That's my question.
That is a terrific and important question. And the answer is, I do not know, but you're making a good point. You know, it's all well and good to put a uniform on somebody, but if he doesn't know what to do, that's a different story. It may be a training issue. My suspicion is there was some, yeah, when you're a police officer on any force in the country, you get some training. And I think 99% of the police officers in this country would have responded correctly to that. And, you know, and I mentioned this before, my uncle was a police officer. My cousin was a police officer. And these are the toughest jobs in society. They're wonderful people. By and large, there's a few rotten apples, but it's fewer than in most other professions. And most of them go in and face danger every day, would give their lives. And that would be true. This particular crowd down there, I have no idea why they stood around for 77 minutes, but you may be right. It may be lack of training. I mean, states like Texas don't spend any money on infrastructure. They don't spend any money on training personnel. They stiff everybody, screw everybody. They attack government all the time. I do not think that that would have occurred in New York City. I don't think it would have occurred in Chicago. I don't think it would have occurred in any rural police force around the country. But it occurred down there, and I think something has to be said. 19 kids are dead. The door was open. All you had to do is push it with your finger. And, to me, I haven't had that kind of training, but you put a sniper line down, and the minute it's kicked open, you shoot the guy. I mean, this is classroom, for Pete's sake. All right, coming up, thanks a lot for calling, Cassandra. Coming up, a lot of news, a lot of weather, and there's more and more likelihood that the $300,000, $300 million of Russian money is going to Ukraine.
And I won't back.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
That's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Department.